Back here on the Mighty 690 at 9:11, and it is time for this month's edition of Fry Bread Journey's very exciting edition of the program. And joining us, we have your hosts, Chris Crane and Amy Dollar.
Osio.
Halito.
Here we are, Fry Bread Journeys. It's a beautiful February day.
It is so nice out there.
And, you know, of course, we always want to start out the show by thanking Sten Jotty for allowing us to use his song, Greasy Fry Bread, as our intro. We want to thank our show sponsors, Smilin' Charlie Crane, the Cooperative Credit Union here in Coffeyville, and Cherokee Nation. We appreciate your support.
Yes, very much.
So we have a special guest or two maybe coming in today. We weren't going to get into our usual discussion. Sometimes we get into long discussions. But we do have our regular topics. So today's birthdays, February 26th, comedian Jackie Gleason, The Honeymooners, if anybody, you have to be kind of old.
To the moon, Alice.
Yes, that's right, to the moon, Alice. And he was born in 1916. And country singer Johnny Cash, who was known as the Man in Black, was born in 1932 today. So we all like Johnny Cash, I think.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you're fond of him.
Oh, yeah.
And go ahead for it, Amy. She's going to take this day in history.
All right. This day in history, in 1919, the U.S. Congress established the Grand Canyon National Park in Arizona. I like that place. One of the most widely traveled to tourist attractions in the U.S. Before the pandemic, they had almost 6 million visitors annually, getting back to those numbers, and last year was almost 5 million. Fun trivia about the Grand Canyon. It is bigger than the entire state of Rhode Island. And the Hopi tribe believe that the canyon is the gateway to the afterlife. And some people believe you can get to space through the Grand Canyon.
Really? I've never heard that one.
I've been hearing it on Facebook on these videos.
Has everybody been to the Grand Canyon?
Oh, I have. It's been a while.
It's been a long time. Yeah. It freaked me out, the height thing. I have a problem with that. So
yeah,
it was okay. And then we have one other, I think.
Yes, in 1951, James Jones published his novel From Here to Eternity about the Pearl Harbor attack. It was later made into an Academy Award-winning movie with Burt Lancaster, Deborah Kerr, Donna Reed, Frank Sinatra, Montgomery Clift, and Ernest Borgnine. You know that's going to be good. That's an all-star lineup.
It was a great movie. Very good movie. So we have a special drop-in guest this morning. It is Lyle Martin, who is president of the Cooperative Credit Union. He's also a member of the Cherokee Tribe.
Welcome,
Oseo.
Lyle.
Oseo, Lyle.
Hey,
so
great to have you in.
One of the things you're going to get to do is we're not going to do food today because we kind of just want to have time for talking, I guess. And we're probably not going to give a fry bread recipe today.
Oh.
But we are, if you remember correctly, I did post on Fry Bread Journeys that we had a giveaway, and it was a really cool mug that looks like it's beaded a sublimation and tea.
Yes.
And you're going to get to announce who the winner is.
Oh, ooh. Great.
It's not you. I'm sorry. Tell us, before we do that, what's going on with the credit union? Anything?
Well, the credit union, every day I get asked questions about the difference between credit unions and banks, and I'm just going to share a little of that. It all starts from the Federal Reserve, and there's two legs of the Federal Reserve. One is FDIC, which is your banks and savings and loans, and then the other leg is NCUA. National Credit Union Association, and that covers your credit unions. Basically, other than that, we offer all the same services that your local banks will offer or that you're accustomed to: remote capture deposit, debit card at once. We offer all those services. The main thing is that we offer it at a lower fee or maybe free. And also, being a member of a credit union, you get access to those rates, the lower rates for loans and things like that. We have a board that is a volunteer board that's elected by the members. The members become a part owner of the credit union. And in that process, they get to vote at annual meetings and vote for the volunteer board. As a bank, you're never going to be an owner of the bank unless you buy into it, but you're just a customer. So those are the main differences. Another main difference is we handle individual finances, auto loans, mortgages, HELOCs, where the banks will do more of commercial lending as well, and agriculture, we don't do commercial or agricultural lending. That's a big difference. But Other than that,
isn't there a couple of benefits? I remember you telling me that if you're a member of the Cooperative Credit Union, something about paying for like the Brown Mansion, Friends of the Brown Mansion, or becoming part of, you guys pay for that or make a donation to a local nonprofit here.
Yes. Actually, credit unions are set up like that. We're actually in part of our bylaws. When we became, in 2015, we changed our bylaws. A local credit union merged with us and allowed us to change our bylaws. And in that process, we wanted to be able to explore other areas. And to be part of that, we became partners with the Friends of the Mansion.
That's it, Friends of the Mansion.
So anytime someone joins our credit union, we give $5 to the Friends of the Mansion, and then they become an associate member of the mansion. So just an added benefit.
It is an added benefit, and it's also a supporting something going on here in town, a local, very much local type deal. So you guys have any specials running right now or anything?
Not right now, but probably in the next month, Farm and Home Show.
Yeah.
You mentioned that. We'll be there.
Right.
We'll be one of the exhibitors. And, of course, we always offer some type of a lending special. Stop by and see us at the Farm and Home Show. Yeah.
I think all of us will be there.
Yeah,
probably.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Absolutely.
And see what our lending special will be.
Well, I think that's pretty good. So I've written the name down. I did the drawing this morning. And so we're going to do our little drum roll. I don't know if you can see this. The winner of the giveaway this month is
Cindy Evans.
Cindy lives over in Chelsea, and she is a member of I'm a member with her on the Indian Women's Pocahontas Club, and she's the one that does Two Needles Designs and makes the ribbon skirts, and I've got one, and actually you've got one of them, and so we will get this to you, Cindy.
Okay,
so
Cindy.
Congratulations.
Pretty good.
I want to go ahead and touch on one more thing. Very important. Credit unions are a not-for-profit organization, where banks are for-profit. That's probably one of the biggest differences. And so I wanted to say that. And basically, at the end of the month, we like to think that our members are going to save a little money and put a little more in their pocket.
That's good. It's a good know, and it's a good thought, too. We see Lyle. He comes to NAFI, and he's famous for his grape salad.
Oh, yes,
I have to talk about a little food.
My nine-year-old thinks that every time I say I saw Lyle or mention something about you, she says that he's bringing grape salad. I see he does not just walk around with a bowl of prepared grape salad.
I mean, that'd be a good idea.
But
you actually had some.
It was good,
though,
yeah.
It was
really
excellent. I think the brown sugar, it's very deceiving to be called grape salad, because that, to me, I think salad, I'm not going to say it wasn't healthy because it had grapes, but that's like grape dessert. That was like,
it is.
It
Absolutely.
Was more of a dessert. So anyway, thank you so much for stopping
All
by.
Right.
We appreciate
Pleasure
it.
Up. Appreciate you.
It looks like you're going to no problem. We'll see you here after a while. So we're going to go to a commercial break probably about 9:25, and then might have another special guest. But before we do that, we want to talk about upcoming events here in Coffeyville area. March 2nd is the NATO Fest over at Community Elementary at 9:30 in the morning. And it is a great opportunity for the entire family. You get to get some learning resources. You're making connections. I'm sure there's probably many educators there, and there's food, games. So you bring the whole the kids out. You want to take the next one?
Oh, yeah. March 9th has two events. Kiwanis Pancake Feed at the First Baptist Church starting at 7 a.m. And the Coffeyville Chamber Ambassadors will be hosting Last Trivia Night at the Ville Pub and Grill starting at 6 p.m. MC'd by Chris. Teams are limited to 12. Need to contact Chris via email at kcrane5@cox.net. to register. It's $60 per team, and no more than 6 on a team, and it is a fun evening. It is a very challenging evening. If you think you're a trivia whiz and you're going to come and you're going to know all the answers, you're not, unless you're the
Stephanie. I'm getting meaner and I'm making harder questions.
But it is fun to be challenged. I was a little disappointed in myself only being able to answer three on one of the categories, but it was a lot of fun, and I like it because I learn things. So you should come and bring your thinking cap and your friends and have a lot of fun.
Well, James, you were on a team.
Yeah, we've always placed.
You always place.
We've got a streak going.
You place. But this time, what were you, second this time?
I think we got, second. Yeah.
You were second.
We were second, yep.
Yeah, and I know, that was pretty good. And the other thing is, you guys are competing on this one, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. Okay. And hopefully we'll get first, finally, because we've always gotten second or third. We've never gotten first.
This is the last one for this year. We do these, this is through the Chamber Ambassadors, and it's an opportunity. We pay money out, so that's not only the best part, but you get food and you have a drink or whatever, and it's just getting together with people. She said she wasn't happy about how many. This last one, that was the first time I had one team got zero answers correct on one of the categories. I've never had that happen. Never.
Oh, I didn't say I got three right. There was only three I could answer.
Yeah. Oh, they're impressively hard, which is good. I think people like that.
It is fun. Who wants to go and say, I guess some people would like to do that. So, anyway, March 12th, I started to put this on there. I typed it on there. We are having Cherokee Nation is sponsoring a beginner's beading class. It's through the Art Recovery Grant Program. And Sage Ellison, who is a member over at Washington County Cherokee Association, is going to be teaching this. We're limited to 10 students. We filled it within 2 hours. Literally within 2 hours of me posting it on our page, it was full. I even have a list so far of 5 people if somebody would drop out, which I'm very doubtful that that's going to happen. But I went ahead and put that. We're looking at doing this again. I think it'll be a pretty cool deal to have. And then we've just got a couple of more events.
What do we have?
You want to take the first one?
Yeah, March 20th. Oh, that's exciting. NASA exhibit at the Air Museum will begin at 1 p.m. on March 20th.
Sorry.
That's all right, because it's going to be open 1 to 4.
Okay.
I might have to be there at noon.
So I wanted you to tell us a little bit about that.
I'm excited about it. So I partnered with Aviation Heritage Museum and Lisa Brookover and Johnson Space Center, and we're bringing in a traveling exhibit that will be an Apollo spacesuit, some panels about the history of manned spaceflight, which goes great with Air Museum, and some other things about us, the inner workings of space shuttles, and just some other cool little things that come with it, some lunar globes and models. So we'll have that displayed at the Air Museum. It will be here March 20th through June 14th.
Okay, I wondered how long it would be here.
The regular hours it will be open will be Wednesday through Sunday, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m., and that's with regular admission, or with free admission. If you want to bring your school group or your bus group or your family group or yourself and it does not fit in the hours of Wednesday through Sunday at 1 to 4, please call Lisa Brookover at 251-2145, or you can call me at the chamber at 251-2550, and we will schedule you a time to come out and visit the exhibit.
So you guys are going to a lot of trouble to make sure everybody can attend this if they want to.
Yes. So we've been making sure we invite schools and homeschool groups and bus tour groups, and we want to make sure, yes, it's a free event, free admission, and we want to make sure everyone gets a chance
and see it. James, have you ever been to the
Aviation Museum? It's a great museum.
I don't think people understand. I appreciate the Brown Mansion and that are things people come to Coffeyville for, but this is kind of a little known thing that we have that is pretty impressive, that is always great to look at.
We're hoping, tourism is hoping to change that the Air Museum is just as much a reason to come as the Brown Mansion or other things like that. So we're hoping to make sure it's known throughout the aviation fans out there. So of course nothing's going to beat bringing people to town for the Daltons.
Yeah.
I had a couple from the Netherlands came in last week, and they brought
that on the page.
A couple of Lucky Luke books. But he told me the Lucky Luke books we already have in the old Condon Bank, which you are welcome to come and view. He said some of them were in Spanish and Italian, and his is in Dutch.
Okay.
So that was very, very...
Well, the only last thing we have on our list of events is, of course, we just kind of touched on March 23rd is the annual Interstate Farm and Home Show, and it's going to be at Coffeyville Community College in Nellis Hall.
Yep.
It's going to start at 8:30 that Friday, and I think it runs Saturday too, I believe.
Yeah, I think the actual times for it is going to start in the afternoon on Friday.
Oh, Friday starts at like 1.
And then Saturday is all day.
Saturday is 8:30. Yep. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I always enjoy going, and you'll get to see Lyle Martin there.
Yes.
You'll see James there.
We'll be broadcasting live and everything.
Friday.
Broadcasting live, and Amy Tourism will be there. I'll be around, so... Anyway, we've got that right now, so I think that, James, we're going to break for commercial, and then we'll come back.
Okay. Got a very special guest on the way here as we continue Frybread Journeys on the Mighty 690. Back here on the Mighty 690 at 9:29 now, and we continue our Frybread Journeys program. And, Chris, we have a very special guest in the studio.
We do. Dropped in this morning. We're honored to have Cherokee Nation Principal Chief Chuck Hoskin, Jr. Thank you so much, Wado, for coming.
Well, it's good to be with you all. Thanks for having me on.
So we've been talking. We want to spend the rest of the time on the show. Mm-hmm. We have about 30 minutes, probably. Mm-hmm. But we want to talk to you about all the exciting things that are going on in Cherokee Nation, and I had kind of talked to you. We like to call ourselves the gateway to Cherokee Nation up here in Coffeyville. So, but we know that Visit Coffeyville was the recipients of 2 solar charging tables, which are getting a lot of use, and one is also been installed down at Native American Fellowship at South Coffeyville. So,
and I've got to say, Wado Egwa, and I've been practicing this. So, Gayale Aliga. Means I appreciate you.
Wow, I got to tell you, you're ahead of me on language speaking. But thanks
too.
For that.
Yeah. Well, thank you. The tables mean a lot. They are such an enhancement downtown. They are great. People are using them. Oh, daytime, nighttime, cold outside or not, people are using them. And I think when we have events and we have our tourism seasons picking up, I think they're going to be a great use. And they look great. So yes, Wado Egwa again, very much.
Well, that's great. You know, here's what I think is important for people to understand. Cherokee Nation's border, is coexistent with the Kansas-Oklahoma border, but we want our impact to be beyond that, and so that's why we consider Coffeyville, Kansas, and the whole southeast Kansas area to be really our friends and neighbors, because they are, and so we treat them that way. We try to participate where we can in helping lift up the community. I think those solar tables are just a great project to work on, and we see what's going on in Coffeyville. There's a lot of progress going on here, and to be a part of it's really special to us.
Well, we appreciate it.
And so I was lucky enough, you spoke at the Bartlesville Kiwanis meeting last week, and I was invited to come watch. It was a very powerful speech, I might add. I enjoyed it a lot. And it was about tribal sovereignty and the impact that Cherokee Nation has. It was in particular Washington County, of course. But one of the things you touched on was this new Gadoogie Corps program, and I thought you might kind of tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. So Gadoogie, and there's a word I do know, is the Cherokee word for working together. That's a really powerful idea, no matter whether you're Cherokee or not, this idea of working together. It's very much how communities are built. One of the things that we think about here, and this is my second term as chief, just starting it, along with Deputy Chief Brian Warner, is the Cherokee Nation does a great deal. I think we're making a lot of progress. There's a lot of high-level things that we do that are necessarily top-down, so they're necessarily healthcare delivery that's continually improving, investing in economic development, things like housing, creating jobs. Those are all things we need to do and must do. And by the way, they're things that have a ripple effect across the region, so it affects this area. But one thing of great concern is, are we really taking care of the grassroots? Are there things that Cherokees can do locally to take care of their communities? And what can Cherokee Nation do to support that? So the Gadoogie Corps is this idea that local Cherokees and our friends and neighbors can get together and solve local problems. So one of the areas that we all recognize requires grassroots reaction is crisis management. Often if there's a storm, and we know in this area there's lots of storms, and we're coming on storm season, it's often friends and neighbors that are first on the scene. Or maybe there's a water outage or a flood. I've been around long enough to have gone through many floods in the Coffeyville area. And so it's really your friends and neighbors that are helping you. So could we create a Gadoogie Corps that is a response to a disaster? Yes, we could. And so empowering people locally to do that. But beyond those really immediate needs, are there continual things we can do? Can we get behind great local community organizations? There's one just down the road, Native American Fellowship Incorporated in South Coffeyville, to be a hub for Cherokee community life, for people to come in. They may need help. They may need help with food security. They may need help with just questions they have about Cherokee Nation. They may want to get involved themselves in volunteer work. And so the Gadugi Corps is really about volunteerism. It's about national service. It's about making sure Cherokee Nation doesn't get so big that we forget that it really is rooted in community life. And so that's conceptually what it is. We're still developing it, but we're excited about the direction that it could take.
I've thought some of the things I heard you speak about before on this was maybe possibly like reading or academic camps for kids, cultural type events.
Absolutely. And one of the areas that's of great concern to us is making sure things like reading attainment is something that our kids and kids all over the region can get. And summer reading programs is one way that we can help. Cultural enrichment is something we all need to get back to. I think no matter who you are, if you're a Cherokee, you're on a journey to try to reconnect with your roots. And so being able to do that locally, maybe it's a language class, maybe it's a cultural enrichment class, maybe it's a history class. You need local people to do that, and the Gadugi Corps can help really facilitate that.
I think that's going to be amazing. One of the things we've talked about is all the progress that's we've talked about the progress. I go to a doctor at the Will Rogers Clinic, for example, and it's fantastic to see that Head Start building being put up right
now. Yeah, that's pretty exciting.
And then I noticed that they're taking bids now to try and enlarge the food distribution building too.
Yeah, we're talking about the community of Nowata just down the road from where we're talking now. That's a great example of what Cherokee Nation is doing to support really important needs for people. So our healthcare system is big at the Cherokee Nation. Over 2 million patient visits a year across a system that spans 14 counties in northeast Oklahoma. It's a healthcare system that doesn't charge a fee. It's a healthcare system that has to meet a lot of needs, and yet we're continually growing. So if you go to Nowata, and I'll get to the Head Start, which is on sort of what now has become kind of a campus of services. The health center itself saw an expansion just about a year ago. We added jobs, we added services. We're trying to meet the needs of people in the northern part of the Cherokee Nation when it comes to health care. That is a healthcare facility that I think is just wonderfully run. We're always trying to increase services and meet the needs of the people. But in that area, you also mentioned the food distribution center and the senior nutrition site. We've got a good problem at the Cherokee Nation is that we've got elders wanting more services, more community life, more socializing. That's good. We need that in the Cherokee Nation. And so that's why we're expanding the senior nutrition site. That's a lunch program for elders. Citizens and non-citizens, by the way, can access that. And so increasing that's important. Just across the street from that, early childhood education, our Head Start facility. We have one in Nowata. It's for the little ones, but they deserve a state-of-the-art facility. That's what we're building in Nowata. I think when we're done with that building, we're done with the expansion, Cherokees will be very proud of what they see there. More important than what they see is what's delivered there. So taking care of kids, taking care of elders, taking care of all of us in terms of our health care needs. And there's a community building there too, and a great organization called the Nowita Cherokee Organization that's doing some really important things there.
Well, I know they expanded, they added dental, and they had optometry, but it was a very basic, and hey, that's where my glasses come from, that's where I go to the dentist. It is, you know, it's really been a wonderful thing to see. So do you think, you know, we have the casino here in South Coffeyville, and it's like probably the biggest employer in Nowata County, I would think. So do you ever see anything like a wellness center or not a Head Start, but a daycare or something coming up even a little farther north than Nowata?
I think we'll need to get there. The casino, as you note, is a major employer.
Yes.
Overall in Nowata County, we've got over 260 employees. That, of course, includes our health care facilities, some other smaller programs. But the casino is a big driver of employment and economic development and economic impact here in the region. What we're trying to do across the Cherokee Nation is look comprehensively at what our needs are. And one area is, do we have have childcare that enables a workforce to go to work. A lot of people have to make really difficult decisions as families as to whether both parents can work, given the high cost of childcare. And it's not always high cost, it's availability, the scarcity of childcare. And we've done a study, and we know that Nowata County is one of the areas that we need to do some more in. So I could see that happening. We are right now building our first childcare facility at the Hard Rock in Catoosa. Catoosa at the Hard Rock is really the campus of all of our corporate offices, including the Hard Rock, which is most notable. So we're building the first one next to a business, and we think it's going to be a model that we could expand to other parts of our businesses, which of course include the casino. So I could see us moving in that direction. No concrete plans now to do it, but it takes the first step, and we're taking that first step not too far down the road in Catoosa. You mentioned the Wellness Center, and I think this is really important. Here's what we want at the Cherokee Nation. We don't just want the best health care in Indian country. I think we have that now. Yes. We want the best health care in the country. That's not enough, but we want to get there. The vision is for a world-class system of wellness in every sense of that word, and that's mind, body, and spirit. Health care is a big part of that. If we're going to get there, it does seem to me and the Deputy Chief and a great many other Cherokee leaders that we have to have that idea of wellness in our healthcare facilities. And so the new ones we're building one in Salina, which is going to be tripling the size of what we have there. And I'm talking about Salina, Oklahoma. And if anyone's never heard of Salina, Oklahoma, most of the country's never heard of it. And most of the country would be shocked and impressed that we're building a $65 million outpatient facility in this little community. Why? Because we're driven by healthcare need, not healthcare profit. But there's an example of where we're building a facility in which we're putting a wellness center in it. Because here's what we want. We want someone to go to the doctor. The doctor tells you, look, you've got high blood pressure or you're borderline diabetic. Those two conditions, by the way, are disproportionately affecting our people. And you're pointing to yourself.
I go to Nowata. It is a diabetic clinic, yeah. And I am diabetic, and mm-hmm. I have high blood pressure, but I get the best care.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I've got high blood pressure, too, and I can't just blame the governor of the state of Oklahoma.
I also
have to blame probably genetics and probably some lifestyle choices. And so here's what we want. You go into the healthcare center, and the doctor tells you you need to exercise. She can also tell you, and you can go down the hall and do it at no cost. That's what we want. That's part of this wellness model. And so as we expand healthcare, and Nowata would be a great place for it, we need to be able to provide that kind of service to the Cherokee people so that we have this comprehensive view of wellness.
I think
it's amazing. That is very cool. Being an Oklahoman, you know, they are kind of, you know, I have a lack of health care, and I have a lack of health care sometimes, and ways to know how to be healthier. So having those clinics that will help you, you know, that's what my doctor said. You need to eat less and exercise. She didn't say what to eat or
right.
what to do.
Yeah.
So that, you know, hand me my pills and then send me on the way. So that's very nice to have that follow up. And to touch on your daycares next to a business, I was a stay-at-home mom for so long because of that, and knowing that I could be close to my children, that's going to make an advantage and give people more confidence to go and work because their children are, you know, on site or right there next to a business, you know, next to their business. And I think that is really a really good thing for people and will help more people have access to be able to work and take care of themselves.
I think so too. It helps people individually make those choices and to feel more confident about, as you said, going to work, knowing your kids are near you. I think it also helps make us overall an employer of choice. You know, we're all competing for top talent, and to be able to send a message that we believe that families matter, not just the workforce as numbers,
yes.
but families matter. I think it sends a good message. I think it's best for us long term.
I definitely agree with that. I think that is very good.
I didn't understand.
Yeah,
what that
you're
meant,
good.
Jake.
You're good. We were doing hand signals back and forth here.
Did you have any questions?
Actually,
kind of letting you
Yeah, it's really good to have you on here, sir. And, you know, I was actually hiking out in Oklahoma yesterday and ran into a lady on the trail. And we got to talking about internet coverage in, you know, the Cherokee Nation. And I know that you've recently had an initiative to expand that a little bit more because so many people, they don't have access to the internet. Maybe they don't have enough, you know, to have maybe the cell phone internet and that sort of thing. And I know this is something that you've been working on.
It's a big initiative. And if you look at the landscape, literally the geographic landscape of northeast Oklahoma, it's very, very hilly in a lot of areas. That contributes, it's not the only reason, it contributes to gaps in connectivity. The other gaps are really driven by a lack of investment. You can go to some of these communities I'm talking about. I'm talking about places, Adair County, Sequoia County, Cherokee County, Delaware County, and Oklahoma. Historically, a lack of investment, meaning infrastructure, is lacking. We've invested in a lot of more traditional infrastructure, roads and bridges, things of that nature, but we need today to bring those communities into the 21st century to make sure that if you are living there, that you're just as connected there as you would be anywhere. And it's not just, as we all know, a luxury. It is a necessity. If you're a kid and you're going to school, it matters whether you have access to the internet at home. It matters whether you can see the world in front of you. You know, the old saying, a kid can't be what they can't see. Well, in this day and age, they need to see it on the internet. They need to be connected. If you're a family and you want to live, and this is really important to Cherokee culture, if you want to live where your family's always lived and continue those life ways, you got to make a living. Well, you can make a living in the world we live in oftentimes if you are connected to the rest of the world, the streams of commerce. And so that's important. If you're an elder and you need to get access to healthcare, you see a healthcare system in the country and certainly in the Cherokee Nation that is moving towards access to telemedicine. And so you need to be able to access that now and in the future. We're taking $80 million of American Rescue Plan Act funds, which we could do a lot of things with, and investing them where the private sector didn't and where governments have not. And so we're standing up 15 cell towers over the next 3 years so that we can connect about 16 communities. And it's really more than cell service. It's also about the infrastructure that, while not future-proof, nothing's future-proof in terms of technology, but will for a long period of time, I'm talking for a generation or more, be situated that as technology advances, the fiber optic will be there, the hard wire will be there, the towers will be there to place devices that none of us have ever thought of before and that I certainly don't understand even today. But these communities won't just be brought up to today. They'll be kept up with tomorrow so that, again, these communities won't wither on the vine. Because if they wither on the vine, it's not just a sad thing. It's not just a change in the economy. For Cherokees, it is losing communities that we founded after our removal, that we have people that still speak the language and exercise the life ways and practice the traditions that have been there. So it's really almost a culturally existential idea that we keep these communities alive. It turns out you have to do that by connecting them to the internet. That's one of the strategies.
So you just really led me in there. You talked about the language, and I know that you guys just finished signing in the perpetual, you know, funding for the, is it for the Durban Healing Language Center? This is just amazing, and I don't know if a lot of people know, if you could give some background on the...
Sure. The law you mentioned is called the Durban Feeling Language Act. His name was Durban Feeling, a great language warrior, a man throughout his career worked to revitalize the Cherokee language. Here's what people need to know. The Cherokee language is among so many endangered indigenous languages around the world, certainly in this country among tribes. We have 2,000 fluent speakers left, first language fluent speakers, in a tribe of 460,000. Most Cherokees are like their chief and they don't speak Cherokee, but that doesn't mean we can't and shouldn't save the language, because first of all, if we don't save the language, we lose something that all of us here that are Cherokee citizens have, I say, in our hearts, but certainly connect us to our creation. And if we lose it, we will have lost something that makes us unique, that binds us as a people, that connects us to history, and I think can connect us to the future. So how do we do it? We have to invest a lot of dollars. We have to be frank about what happened in this country. The United States imposed a lot of policies and frankly spent a lot of dollars, a lot of resources destroying native languages as a consequence of a federal Indian policy that really suppressed our culture, sent our kids off tribal lands, tried to dismantle our governments. Those things all led to, in large measure, where we are now, a tribe with very few speakers. We need to put resources in to fix it. If people can destroy those things with resources and policies, we can fix them with resources and policies. And so what we've done is we've spent millions of dollars creating facilities, environments in which we can save the language, hiring top-level staff to teach the language and explore ways to save it, but also inspiring this group of young people coming up to go into the immersion school. So that's where you learn reading, writing, and arithmetic, and you're a little kid and you can speak circles around the chief of the Cherokee Nation in Cherokee. That's a great thing. We've got those expanded. We've got an adult program. We just had a graduation the other day in which people are getting on their way to fluency in a really complicated language so that they can go teach those little kids as we expand those classrooms. You know, we're working with Google and Apple and other tech companies and people in the creative arts to find ways to save the language in a way that's accessible to young people, because they want to use their smartphone or they want to watch an animation or they want to create an animation. They want to do it in their language. We're going to create opportunities, and we are, for them to do that. All of that takes a lot of resources. The investment annually is a minimum of $18 million. To put that in perspective, we'll spend about $19 million this year on college scholarships, which means we're going to be spending about the same every year just to keep the language alive. Wow. We're going to have to do more, though, as time goes by.
It's pretty amazing.
It is. You know, just on a small scale, you know, the cultural class we have at NAFI in mm-hmm. South Coffeyville, my daughter learns a lot. You know, she can speak circles around, language, and she can say all kinds of stuff in Cherokee. And it is a very difficult and complex language. I'm learning the Choctaw language so much easier. I can say so many more things. But YouTube, Danetta. Mm-hmm. She is who I'm like, thank you, Danetta. You teach me everything. Yeah, I learn everything from her.
Cherokee word of the week.
Yes.
Well, but my husband, who is not Cherokee, he'll call me and he'll say, oh, here's my new word. Danetta taught me a new word today.
That's right.
And I mean, we love Danetta.
Yes. And people can access that, as you said, on YouTube. And our website, visitcherokeenation.com, has a lot of cultural materials, including Danetta, Cherokee word of the week.
That's pretty amazing. We just want to thank you for coming by, mm-hmm. and I do have something that Amy and I have for you, which we have.
Thank you.
But we got you a shirt.
Oh, you're very
sweet
to do that.
You're going to have to take a picture. It
100%,
says,
yeah,
just
absolutely.
Here for the fry bread.
Yes.
But we thank you so much, and before we mm-hmm. sign off mm-hmm. here, we want to do another shout out to our sponsors. So Smile and Charlie Crane, which would be my better half, and he wasn't able to be here, although we've had Lyle here, and he'll be providing chili for our lunch today.
Yes, thank you, Charlie.
Yes, and Lyle Martin and the Cooperative Credit Union, located at 313 West 9th here in Coffeyville.
It's where you belong.
And of course, Cherokee Nation, we're WADO. We want you to tune in next month, Monday, March 25th, for our next episode of Fry Bread Journeys here at KGF. And thank you again, Chief Hoskin.
Thank you.
We appreciate you.
Well, I appreciate what you all do to keep what it means to be Cherokee alive here in southeast Kansas and northeast Oklahoma.
All right.
Well, thank you so much, sir, for dropping by. Another great edition of Fry Bread Journeys in the books. And we do have open line coming up right after the news at 10:10 here on KGF.